I really get into the message today. I think I want to say something about the worship we just had. Satan would like to really take what just seemed like a little bit of a struggle, particularly for those that were on stage, and use it in a way that can keep them from feeling like they're the people God created them to be. It could also be something that Satan could use to create negative feelings in us. It could be something that could be difficult for Linda. Linda made a decision to do what she felt has been the right thing, and I'm guessing that was a little bit uncomfortable for Linda too. Maybe not. I don't know. But I know Linda well enough to know that Linda, more than anything else, wants what God wants, and she was encouraging in many ways these people that were here, knowing it was difficult. That happens in our everyday life. That happens for us as a church. And if we take that and try to solve it ourselves, it's not going to work out the way it's supposed to. We're going to have a message today, and it's focused a lot on us as an individual, and I believe that's the message God wants me to preach, but we need to understand that that's true for us as a church too. And so I want us to be completely and 100% open today to what God is saying to us, both as individuals and as a church, so that we can achieve what other people may see as impossible. God desires great things for his kingdom. God will have great things in his kingdom, and he desires this church, this body, to be a part of it. And if we pay attention, we will. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking in Mark chapter 10 and studying things that are there. And we're going to look particularly at three statements Jesus made. Today, we're considering the statement, all things are possible with God. Next week, we look at what Jesus meant and how it relates to us when he said to two of his disciples, you don't know what you're asking. And then we conclude with Jesus asking the question, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, we come now and we're looking at your word. Your word has been read, your scripture which is powerful, your scripture which is the living word of God. And in that there is a message for us. And I pray right now that you will use me. You will use me to convey whatever you desire through words to those who have ears to hear. And Lord, there may be messages that you desire for people to hear that they don't come. That message may not come directly through the words I say, but your Spirit, your Holy Spirit is so powerful that you're able to convey that message however you may see fit. So I pray that we will all have our hearts, minds, and souls open to receive what you have to give us now. And that as we receive that, we realize we do it in a manner of worshiping you, acknowledging you as God of Almighty of the universe, Lord and Savior of all who are willing to confess you as their Lord and Savior, confess our sins, and embrace your will in living our lives. This prayer I ask in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. You've heard the scripture read. I've told you that the title of today's message is with God, all things are possible. I have found myself recently living in a world where people need the hope to believe that the impossible is possible. What do you think of when you think of impossible? I want to tell you something that's happening right now in Louisville, Kentucky. There's an Ironman competition going on right now. You know what an Ironman competition is? It consists of a 2.4-mile swim, a 26.2-mile run, and a 112-mile bike race that one person does. So you do all of those things, one right after another. Now, to me, that's definitely something that would be seen impossible. But I want to tell you, there's an 18-year-old teenager named Louis McGee who is participating in that race right now. 18 years old. But get this. He's blind. He's tethered to a 10-time Ironman triathlon participant. And if I understand correctly, he is right now, while we're here in this place, he is participating in that triathlon. I don't know if right now he's swimming or if he's running or if he's biking. But if it followed through and happened the way it's supposed to, he's doing one of those three things. Now, I ask you again, what do you think of when you think of the impossible? How about a husband and wife having a healthy child when you've tried so long in so many ways to get pregnant without success? How about overcoming drug addiction? How about rediscovering love and passion in a marriage that was all but over? How about forgiving a person or persons who has hurt you to the core of your being? Those are just a few of the things that might seem impossible. But my guess is each of us has something in our lives right now, something that when it really comes down to it, we would desire to be at a different place than where we are, and we believe God may want that, but it just seems so impossible. With God, all things are possible. But before we're able to embrace that, we have to connect with God in a very real way. I want us to go back and look at the first part of what Josh just read to us in Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 17. And I've entitled this portion of the message, God is good, but is He Lord of your life? And let's look at what the rich young ruler had to say. As Jesus started on His way, a man ran up to Him and fell on his knees before Him. Good teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. And honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. But what happened with the man? The man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. All things are possible with God, but it begins with our willingness to accept God. When we look at this, we begin to understand what it means to accept God. The rich young ruler knew God was a good man, knew Jesus was a good teacher, and he used that. He knew the good things to do. He knew the commandments. He had kept the commandments. He was a good person. He did the good things. But that wasn't enough, because he didn't make Jesus Lord of his life. So, as we continue, Jesus says it is more difficult for the wealthy to enter the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. We are full of distractions, but so are our lives. And I want us to pay attention to that. I'm going to repeat what the last little bit of what I said. But I want you to understand there's a message that's going to be communicated. And after we leave here, this message, I believe, is going to be powerful. And I believe you're going to connect with it in a great way. But when you leave here, Satan is going to throw one thing after another, after another, after another to try to pull you away from whatever it is God is going to try to communicate to you today. So at times it's going to take effort on our part. Attentiveness. It's not just a matter of setting and letting it soak in. So I tell you again, all things are possible with God, but it begins with our willingness to accept God. The rich young ruler knew God was good. We know God is good. We know who Jesus is. We know a lot of the Bible stories. We can give the right answers, but is Jesus Lord of our life? That's the question we have to ask. Before the impossible can become possible, we have to know that Jesus is Lord of our life. The eye of the needle. There's some people who, even this week when they found out what my sermon was about, I think it was Dave, said, I'm interested in hearing what you have to say about this eye of the needle thing. I don't know how many of you may have actually taken time to historically know what the eye of the needle is. It's not just some literary phrase that means it's difficult. They're not talking about a sewing needle like we would use today. But the eye of a needle is actually an architectural term that's used to describe a narrow passage, particularly in those places in biblical time. And I had a picture of it, but I just didn't feel like I needed to take time to put it up, but I'm going to describe it to you. It's a pathway, most of the time, narrow enough usually that if two people were coming, both of them couldn't meet and stay facing forward without somebody turning sideways. It was that narrow. And it also wasn't very high. Well, you can imagine what it would be like to get a camel through something like this. It may not be impossible, but it's going to be very difficult. So that's what Jesus was saying, that it's this type of difficult for someone of great wealth to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, is that saying that rich people are worse than everybody else? Is that why they can't enter the kingdom of heaven? Is that why Jesus was saying this at this time? No. Why was he saying it? He was saying it because for many who are wealthy, that money becomes so important, that wealth becomes so important, that that's what they identify with, and they can't separate themselves from that money. So that money becomes what controls and guides and leads them. That's why it's so difficult. But you know what? I think we carry on that analogy to say it's not just about those who are wealthy. It's difficult for a lot of people to enter the heaven of God, and it has nothing to do with how much money they do or don't have. It's whether or not there's something else they identify with other than God that has control of their life. And if there's anything in your life that's more important, more of a guiding force than God, that in and of itself can keep you from having the relationship where you make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. And you can fool yourself. Satan loves fooling us to say, we're good enough when we say God is good. God is great. But you know that little prayer, if you pay attention to it, you know what the end of it says? God is good. God is great. What's the rest of it? Keep going. Give us today our daily bread. No. I'm talking about the children's prayer. Do y'all not say that? God is good. God is great. Somebody said it. Alice, say it for us. Give us who our daily bread? Lord. Even with that prayer, at the end, it acknowledges Jesus Christ as Lord. Thank you, Alice. I didn't pay her anything for that. So Jesus, we have to be able to acknowledge Him as Lord. We must give up what we have to make Christ Lord of our life. What we have to give it all up. Everything we have, we give every bit of it up. And you know what Christ gives us? Everything. Everything. And I believe you'll understand that as we keep going. Jesus said in the scripture that we just read, all things are possible with God. I'm not saying this. I'm not a pastor up here just saying this because that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm not saying it just because we're in church. Jesus Christ is saying that all things are possible with God. It's in the Bible. Jesus said it. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? That all things are possible. Think back to the teen who was participating in the Ironman competition today that I mentioned earlier. He couldn't do this without the assistance of someone who was connected to him by a rope. The person Louis is connected to is another athlete that supposedly he didn't even know until about 6 months ago. Each of us are facing different types of what seem to be impossible situations. We don't have a 10-time triathlon participant to guide us. But you know who we do have? We have the God of the universe, the being who created you, who has known you from birth, who loves you more than you can imagine, who has a plan for you, and has every power and resource at his disposal. But to tap into that, we have to go further than the rich young ruler did. There are many good people who say they believe in God. They seek to do the right things, but they've not given up what is most important to them and made God the most important thing in their life.
Yes.
It is only at this point, when you trust God completely as your Lord and Savior, that you can experience the impossible becoming possible.
Amen.
That's how it happens. It doesn't happen just because you come to church. It doesn't happen just because you memorize a bunch of scripture. It doesn't happen just because you do the right thing. It happens because Jesus becomes Lord of your life and the most important thing in your life. And then you are able to see the impossible become possible. Now, this isn't because God is egotistical and wants to hold his blessing back from you until you do what he says. And for some, it may sound like that. It is because God knows we cannot do it on our own. If you don't make him Lord, these other things, these other more important things in your life will continually pull you back down. God desires with all his being to make the impossible possible. I want you to look back with me. And if you would, I think this is really important. If you can, go ahead and get your Bible. There's Bibles in front of you. I want you to see this in black and white in the Scripture. Mark chapter 10, verse 21. This is after he had had the conversation with the rich young ruler. And the rich young ruler just said, "Teacher," he declares, "all these things I have kept since I was a boy." Then verse 21, this is what it says. Jesus looked at him. What does the next thing say? He looked at him and loved him. That gives us a context in which Jesus is about to say what he says next. Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go and sell everything you have. Give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." So, is this saying that the rich young ruler had to buy his salvation? No. None whatsoever. Jesus knew where the rich young ruler's heart was. And it says Jesus loved him. And Jesus knew what it was going to take for the rich young ruler to be able to have the life that God desired.
Amen.
And so he told the rich young ruler what he needed to do. He needed to separate himself from his money. And then he needed to follow Jesus. We need to do the same thing. We need to separate ourselves from the things of this world that we think are so important, more important than God, and follow Christ.
Amen.
And I promise you, when we do that, he will in turn bless us. And he does that because he loves us. I want to close, and this I want to challenge you that this would be your prayer. It's a song that I've heard a few times recently on the radio. It's by Building 429. The title of it is "You Can." I'm just reading a portion of that, but again, I would ask that maybe this be our prayer this morning. "I'm not a saint, I have no doubt. Here in my weakness, working it out, I am no hero at all. I'll never make it myself, because I need your help. I can't walk on water, I can't stand in the fire, unless I look into your eyes, unless I have you by my side. I can't conquer a giant or shut the mouth of a lion. I know I'm just a man, but I'm in your hands, and you can.
Amen.
Don't want to turn and run away from what you call me to embrace. So give me courage. Give me faith. I want to see mountains move. I want to walk the path you choose. Wherever you lead, I will follow. Can this be your prayer? Can you be honest just about who you are? That you're not a hero, that you have those weaknesses, and then say, but God, I know that I am capable of doing so much more if I have you in my life. And so then being willing to give up whatever or let go of whatever we need to let go of. To the point that we're empty. And we can talk about our hands being empty, but we need to empty what's on the inside. The things that are just there that are eating at us. The things that we're struggling with. We need to let go of that. We need to let go of it all, because when we let go of that and we extend our hands out to the God who loves us, He fills them. He fills them with something that we have never, ever experienced before if you haven't opened yourself to God in that way before. And I promise you, I'm not exaggerating. I'm not giving you a bunch of spiritual fluff. This is true and this is real, and you can claim it today.
Amen.
Will you? As I look, I don't know all of your stories. But I know enough about people that I have conversations with every day to know the majority of us sitting in this room, the majority of us that are here, are having some real struggles. And God wants to be a part of that. He wants to be a part of blessing. And it may be taking that struggle away. It may be walking with you through that struggle. But I promise you, He has a great place for you. It's not going to be easy. God doesn't save you, but it will be great if we're but willing to make Him Lord. We're going to close with a hymn, Have Thine Own Way. I'm going to ask if we'll come up and have that now. And I want you to consider the words of this hymn. And I hope you will sing them with all of your heart. And I hope you will mean it. Because if you mean it, that you want God to have His way in your life, He will do it, and your life will be different. Next week, we go into what it means to say that the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. When we begin giving our lives to Christ, we don't have to work at that happening. Things begin to change in who we are, and people begin to notice that. Would you stand with me and respond as God would lead? I'll be here. I'll be glad to pray with you. The altar's open. The church doors are open if you'd like to come to discuss the possibility of church membership. Now is the time to make whatever decision God calls you to make. Have thine own way. Let's sing together.
We're going to sing verses 1, 3, and 4.